It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you till 3. As last time we were here, the Eagles season was not over.
It was even alive, some might say, with considering I picked them to win. A lot of the callers picked them to win. You did not.
I did not.
You got that very much right based off of how that game turned out. I think we could all agree it was very clear early on they were not going to win that game.
Yes.
But yeah, first off-season Go Birds Radio. First of many, unfortunately, because now there'll be no Eagles for 9 months or so.
But fortunately, we'll be here.
Yes.
You know, so
could
be
worse. And honestly, the off-season, look, the season's fun. I love it, all that stuff. The off-season's just so interesting, like the possibilities and all those things. So I say unfortunately just because it's fun to watch, you know, to have games and react to them. But yeah, it's a crucial off-season. Looks like they might lose one of their best coaches, which is, you know, going to be an impact. But yeah, a lot to get into.
Yeah, that to get into, and I agree. I think this offseason sets up in a really compelling way. You know, the quarterback, we'll get into that. There's a lot of questions after that game, I think. You know, it was kind of funny because that game played out where it was, you know, we felt so good heading into it about the season, about where they were at, and it was all of our worst fears in one game.
You know, literally.
Literally. Like, everything we were concerned about showing up in one game, so it really sets up for a fascinating offseason.
And I keep crediting the caller because he made the point. I might just have to steal it eventually.
Yeah,
but OG Wade, I think, made a great point with how different we view this season if they don't make the playoffs in that way. Like, if they end the year,
9-8,
right,
down
they just
run,
don't get in, yeah. But, like, you're right, that game showed all the fears. Like, the Jalen Hurts discussion's different. To a certain degree, the Nick Sirianni discussion, I heard Joe DiCamera talking about it this week, right? Like, it changes that. The roster looks different. So I don't think there should be overreacting to the loss. It was a bad loss. It exposed some of their problems, problems we already knew were there. But I think it was good for them to get playoff experience. I think now you go into next year saying this team should be expected to win a playoff game, you know, depending what they do at quarterback. But yeah, I think it changes expectations, but it certainly changes how you view them as well.
Yeah, it totally does, and I think it really does set up for a fascinating offseason. And I agree, expectations have to go up next year. You made the playoffs this year.
Yep.
We need more.
You got to take a step forward.
Absolutely. So if you want to chime in on all of that, 215-592-9494, the game itself, the reaction to the game, the Hurts thing, all that. But you said something a minute ago that I can't let slip by at the beginning of the show here. My man said the Eagles could lose one of their best coaches, a great coach.
I didn't say great.
Yeah, you
implied. I said one of their best coaches.
He's talking, of course, about Jonathan Gannon. I'm sure you've seen it, but for those who don't know, Jonathan Gannon, somehow, some way, one of the hot names on the coaching market, has interviewed with 3 teams and apparently second interviews with the Broncos and the Texans, reported that he was the front runner for the Texans job. It's starting to really feel like Jonathan Gannon might be a head coach this offseason.
Well, what's crazy is, and we're going to discuss him to say the least, I think some might say we will debate Gannon, the great Gannon debate that's been coming for weeks. But I wouldn't hire Jonathan Gannon as a head coach. Like if the Texans or Broncos were to call me and say, Elliot, seems like, you know, you have the correct opinion of Gannon. Do you think we should hire him? I would say absolutely not. Like, I don't think Gannon's ready to be a head coach yet. He's had 1 year as a coordinator. I don't like defensive coaches, but that's another debate.
Anyway,
but I wouldn't hire Gannon. Like, I would be surprised if he was successful as a head coach. But as a defensive coordinator, I don't get why there's a rush from the fan base to try to get him out of town, right? Like, what is it? And I guess it's just like the style they play. But guess what? Whatever defensive coordinator they bring in is probably going to get some cues from Howie and Nick Sirianni, and they don't want to give up big plays. So Gannon played a style that the head coach and I believe the front office had some input in. But regardless, like, forget about style. Let's talk about numbers when it comes to Jonathan Gannon. Prior to Week 18, when the whole team didn't play, they were eighth in the league in points allowed. You look at this season, there were more games the defense won for them than the offense did. Do I think Jonathan Gannon is a great coordinator? No, I don't think he's a great coordinator. I think he's a good defensive coordinator. I think he's top half the league in defensive coordinators. And ultimately, I don't get why people want to make a change. Like, the best thing that I think can happen for this team is continuity, right? They switched coaching staffs last year. I think the second year under a coordinator, you see players feel more comfortable because they know the scheme, but you also see the scheme expand to a certain extent because they know it better. They can add wrinkles. They can do different things. And if everyone's plan is, let's go hire a defensive coordinator that can stop Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Herbert, good luck. If there's that guy out there, go get him. And maybe you'll say Vic Fangio.
Vic Fangio.
But ultimately, it's extremely hard to find guys that can do that, especially with this personnel.
I just named two who have in the
past. Well, especially with this personnel, right? So that is my thing with Gannon. You can counter. But, like, I don't get why people want him gone so bad when the results are nowhere near as bad as the actual, like, venom towards this guy.
Here's my counter. Jonathan Gannon stinks.
Okay.
He stinks. You'd say, Ethan points or whatever. It's all about context. The best quarterback he beat this year is Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater. Can I say it again? Teddy Bridgewater. The second best quarterback he beat, Trevor Siemian, Jared Goff. Like,
well, you're a Zach Wilson guy.
Zach Wilson? What are we doing here? This guy, every single legitimate offense he faced, he stunk. And we saw it again in the playoff game. After already getting one shot at that offense, an offense when it was even more stacked and ready to play, we saw the exact same thing. He did the exact same thing and let Tom Brady just carve him up. And I know it's Tom Brady and all that, but, like, there was zero resistance, no pressure, no guys up on receivers, just letting guys get cushioned and Brady just dissecting it. It's like this guy doesn't know what he's seeing out there. He doesn't know what kind of defense he should call against quarterbacks who could actually complete passes. Like, I understand numbers and all that, and I do think numbers have their place, but they have to have context with them. You can't just say he had a great season because they didn't give up a ton of points when the only teams they were great against are the ones with bad quarterbacks, and that completely skews the numbers.
So I agree you need context. Absolutely, right? I don't think he's a top 10 coordinator. I don't think the Eagles' defense was top 10. But I think that what people do a lot, and you're doing to a certain extent, is we're just looking over the fact that they dominate bad offenses. Like, it's not as easy as everyone makes it out to be. If it was one or two bad offenses they dominated, then it's like, okay, like, you're supposed to do that for one or two games. There were multiple games this year. I'm looking it up. I think it was nine or ten games this year where they held the opposing offense under 20 points, which is really hard to do in the NFL. Oh, hold on. No matter what you're facing. So here's
Garrett
all.
Gilbert. It's hard to hold Garrett Gilbert under 20
points. Yeah, that's
points.
One example,
and
right?
He looked good against them.
Okay, but regardless, what I'm saying is,
Mike,
like,
Glennon,
everyone.
Jake Fromm.
Okay.
Wow!
Everyone overlooks what they do against bad offenses until they bring in another coordinator, right? And they're not dominating those bad offenses. Like,
how do we know that? Vic Fangio has dominated bad offenses his whole career. Wink right. Martindale has dominated bad offenses his whole career. These guys have proven track records of being phenomenal defensive coordinators. Why wouldn't you want these guys?
All right, Vic Fangio adds an element to the discussion, right? Because he's available. So there's two different ways.
As is Wink Martindale.
I know, right. So there's two different ways to look at this. There's the, would I trade Vic Fangio for Jonathan Gannon, right? Like, that's one question. And I think there's an interesting debate to be had there. Fangio is obviously a better defensive coordinator.
Is the answer.
Well, my only concern is, he's older. I like the vibe of the coaching
staff. I love
staff.
An older guy. We could use an old guy coming in.
I'm not pushing back.
A little bit of veteran, know-how. That wouldn't be the worst thing.
I'm not pushing back too hard on Fangio, but I think those are two different things. It's a little bit like the Russell Wilson, Jalen Hurts thing, where you can say, yes, I think Jalen Hurts is the guy, while also saying, I would bring in Russell Wilson. Like, Vic Fangio is in that discussion as a defensive coordinator, as a defensive mind. Would you agree with that? Like, one of the best in the league.
Absolutely.
Exactly,
yes,
right?
No
so
question.
I don't think saying you would take Fangio over Gannon is like a shot at Gannon. Well, the point I'm making is, let's say Gannon gets one of these head coaching jobs, and you don't get Fangio, or who's the other guy you're saying?
Wink Martindale.
You don't get him, right? Then I think you could be in some trouble. Like, yes, if you can get Fangio, I get it. I would not kill the Eagles for that, right? But I am not firing Gannon just to fire him. Like, it sounds like you are of the mindset of you want Gannon gone. Like, almost no matter who the replacement is. And I know not everybody, you would be open to hiring an unproven guy over Gannon.
And look, they're not going to fire Gannon. The only hope is that he gets one of these head coaching jobs. But am I, praying that Jonathan Gannon gets one of these head coaching jobs? You're damn right I am. I wish I could send letters to the Houston Texans and the Minnesota Vikings and Denver Broncos and say, this guy's the best. You should hire him.
But it's just so crazy because if you look at the 17 or 16 games they played, there was four games where they were really bad. And I know they're against good offenses.
Well, 17,
I get that.
18 technically games they played.
No, don't they play 17 in 18 weeks?
70. You said 16.
Yeah, because we're not counting the last Cowboys game.
We don't have to count.
Well, but the reason
fine, we don't have to count.
Right, the point I'm making is way more often than not, and yes, it's about who they played, but that's for the whole team too. Like, way more often than not, when the Eagles defense played this year, they played good, right? They didn't allow a ton of points. There were some games they created turnovers. They could have been better than it for sure. But if you look, they were really bad against the Cowboys in week 3. They were bad against the Raiders. They gave up 33 to them. They weren't great in the playoffs, although I think the offense was worse than the defense in the playoffs. But regardless, when I look at how the defense performed this year, it is nowhere near a fireable offense. Does Gannon need to learn how to stop the best offenses in the league? Yeah, that's the next step. And I think part of that is the personnel. One criticism of Gannon a lot is he doesn't blitz, right? He's not super aggressive. And I think they should play more press man. So that I'm in agreement with. But in terms of blitzing, I don't think the linebackers are great blitzers. I don't think the safeties are great blitzers. So I can't sit here and say he should be blitzing these players that we all agree need to be upgraded. So if Gannon's best strategy, in my opinion, was what he did, which is they don't have playmakers on defense. They have Darius Slay, and that's it. That's the only playmaker they have. So what he did was he sat back and he hoped the other team made mistakes. Is it frustrating? Yes, of course it is. But that's personnel-based
as well. It's silly. It's silly to sit back
but
and
it
say,
was effective.
Let's hope that it wasn't against guys who weren't going to make
mistakes.
Against
the best quarterbacks,
you have to
yeah.
change. You have to adjust. That's fine if you want to do that against bad quarterbacks. Against good quarterbacks, you have to try something different. And he did it twice against Brady. The same thing. The list of quarterbacks that Jonathan Gannon dominated this season.
Yeah. They're not good lists.
Matt Ryan, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, Teddy Bridgewater, Trevor Siemian, Zach Wilson, Garrett Gilbert, Jake Fromm / Mike Glennon, and Trevor Heine. And
it's not
Tyler
an impressive
Heineke.
List. I agree with you.
It's a disastrous list.
Absolutely
there's not
is.
One impressive performance on that list. Not one that you say, wow, I can't believe they stopped that guy. Not one.
Individually, you're right. But as a whole, you can't deny it's impressive that as a whole, they had ten, whatever quarterbacks you came up with.
How is it impressive?
Because
they're
dominant. Like,
you
because
should beat
as a
all
whole,
those guys. You
but
should beat
do
every one of those guys.
Do you not
guys.
Agree consistency is one of, the best traits in the NFL?
What do you mean consistency? Well, they stunk against good teams.
I'm
How is that
I'm not disputing
consistent?
That. I'm saying it is a skill in the NFL to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. That is how you win. That is how you make the playoffs in the NFL, right? You win the games you're supposed to.
Sure.
And then you hope you split the hard ones, right? And so, again, I don't think Gannon's a defensive coach of the year. I don't think he's an amazing coordinator. But let's not overlook the fact that how many games did the defense win for them versus the offense?
There is a difference between, playing bad teams and doing well against them and then getting completely dominated from a defensive perspective by good quarterbacks. Dominated. Again, what was it, 5 straight games of 80% or more the first time in the history of the
right.
NFL? Derek Carr threw for 90% completion against you? You couldn't stop any good quarterback. Not one.
Well, the Chargers only gave up 27 points.
Did they stop the Chargers on defense? No, they didn't.
Well, they stopped
it was
two,
a, it was
two
a
three
game
times,
where there were long drives and thus less points. At no point this season, Jonathan Gannon's defense not just not stop a good quarterback, not get dominated by a good quarterback.
Well, let me
not
ask you this,
one
though.
Time.
How many games did the
0-7, 0-8 if you count the playoff game, 0-8.
Yeah, and the playoff game, if we want to talk about context, I think the defense actually performed better.
Who cares?
Well, I'm just saying, if you want to talk about context,
they both stunk.
But you're saying they got dominated. I don't think they got dominated in that game. they didn't play well.
We were down 31-0.
Yeah, but I think that Rager fumble really just screwed the whole team.
It hurt, but
okay.
Come on, man.
But here's the ultimate. Like, yes, you're right that he did not play well against good quarterbacks. But that means you're gonna fire him, like, because he can't
I know he's not getting fired. I'm hoping he gets
another
job.
No, I'm saying, what
would
you do?
I want him gone.
Right. So
yeah.
You're saying you would fire him.
Desperately want him gone. Sure. But
and
they're
so,
not going to. I want him to get a head coaching job.
Right.
Either way, I don't. To your point, your main like statement of the show, I do not think it would be a huge loss if they lose Jonathan Gannon at all.
Okay. I think it will. I think it's tougher to replace these guys than people make it out to be. Like, for whatever we think of Gannon, for whatever, like, the callers, and I'm guessing people are not going to be on my side with this one, to say the least.
What does that tell you, man?
But, I mean, there's a reason he's getting these head coaching interviews. Like,
he's clearly impressive in a room.
Yes.
He can clearly walk into a room and make people think that he's smart and interesting and
right.
good at football and all that stuff. That doesn't mean that he is. There have been a lot of guys
who walked
into
a room.
How many head coaches fail? More than succeed. If, you know,
I would just say this. Be careful what you wish for. That's all I'm saying. Is it possible that they could get a coordinator better than Gannon? Yeah, it's definitely possible because he's not a great coordinator. I'm not out here saying, like, he's defensive coach of the year. I'm not saying he did an amazing job. But ultimately, and you still haven't answered this question, how many games did the offense win for them this year?
I don't know.
None. I can tell you that answer. It's zero. They didn't win one shootout. What shootout did they win?
Oh, but the defense didn't help them either.
But if you look at these games they won.
The offense scored points. They put up 40 against the Saints. They put up 30 against Denver. What are you talking about?
But I'm saying.
The offense won the Saints game more than the defense did. The Saints, they gave 18 points to Trevor Siemian.
But the Saints game, a lot of those were garbage points. Like,
oh, come on. You can't say it.
I'm just saying.
I just told you, the Saints game.
But the Saints game was not super a shootout is my point.
Well, there was no shootouts. They didn't win shootouts because they kept getting beat by better quarterbacks because the defense couldn't get a stop.
They
could have won a shootout with the
that.
Chargers if they ever stopped them.
I don't know if I completely agree with that point. The Chargers one is an interesting game because 27 points is not a bad outcome, but ultimately you're right. They didn't get the stop in those final 6 minutes. I'm just saying be careful what you wish for, man. Like, I get it. You want Gannon gone, and you're saying
desperate.
Like, they're not going to fire him, but you're saying you would fire him.
Sure.
Like, you would fire him.
Again, if I would, in terms of firing him, I would know that I had someone else. I would know I had Fangio or Wink or someone I wanted
Let me
more.
Ask you, if you couldn't get Fangio or Wink,
I'm sure there's still someone I would
Okay, so
more.
You would.
Probably.
Okay.
But again, I'd have to look at the options and all that stuff, and I don't know every defensive coordinator candidate out there, but I think you could go get one of the best guys, and that's what my goal
is. What's interesting is Gannon.
I would give Vic Fangio the most money to come here. That's
Gannon was
do.
One of the best guys last year. He was. Like, we can
sure.
just debate the job he did. He absolutely was one of the top defensive coordinator candidates, like,
candidates.
Without question.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he's good at his job. Who cares?
But that's my point I'm making is, like, it's almost better to stick with what you know than to go
Why?
With.
Why?
Because you're overlooking, like, eighth in the I get what you're saying.
Horrible quarterbacks. And it's not eighth in the league. Because if you're going to go with numbers, they were 18th.
But we're
in
agreeing
the
18th. Week 18 doesn't
You're
count.
Agreeing.
No, you
if,
also
but,
have agreed.
But again, it's all about context, right? I think what happened that last week just evens out the context
fine,
for
that's
the season.
Fine, all right.
I think they were
so they
probably
finished
like
18.
The 18th defense
And I think
in the
that's probably fair. But let me ask
league.
You, when you say, like, on defensive personnel, would you say that they're, where would you rank?
Of course
them?
They don't have great defensive
So that,
personnel.
That has to
but
factor
that,
in.
But I don't think Jonathan Gannon got the most he could have out of the defensive personnel they had. That's my point.
I don't think he got the most he could have out of the defensive
I mean,
line.
Like 31st in
yeah,
sacks?
The defensive line underperformed.
And yet, all season long, they don't get sacks, and he keeps saying, let's pressure with four. This will work. Oh, yeah, let's pressure Brady.
They don't have the personnel to blitz.
But you got to know your personnel. You got to know this isn't going to work.
He does know it, though.
Clearly not.
How does he not? He didn't
let
blitz.
Brady just walk all over the field on him.
Do you think they have the personnel to blitz effectively?
I think you could figure it out. Disguise, do something interesting. Yes, I think they've guys who can blitz.
I don't think they do. When I look at it, who at the linebacker position do you trust?
Alex Singleton's not a horrible blitzer. He gets in there, comes in.
Alex Singleton is not fast. I like Alex Singleton.
He's not fast, but
well, that's one of the main qualities you need as a blitzer.
And that's your job. Get the most out of these guys. You don't say, well, I guess we can't blitz. So go ahead, Tom. Just walk down the field. You got it. We can't blitz you. I don't have players on my team who can freaking blitz.
But
like,
I do,
are you
like,
serious?
You're saying that you can't just sit back and do that. But ultimately, he has to do what he thinks the best strategy. And for
and
years.
The best strategy is to just let him walk down the field.
Okay, for years, everybody said, why do they keep getting beat deep? All these cornerbacks suck. They're giving up all these long passes.
They don't have sucky cornerbacks. Trust the only guys on your team
they have
were
Slay.
Decent.
That Slay.
Maddox was great
Maddox
this
is,
year.
Yes.
And Nelson is at
but
least
Maddox
serviceable.
Was, Maddox
Nelson's
was on
an
the
NFL
team.
Cornerback.
Maddox was on the team before this year.
215-592-9494. The great Gannon debate. Where do you come down? And of course, Hurts, Sirianni, the end of the season, anything you want to get into. 215-592-9494. Let's start it out where we do recently every show with our other Tom, our buddy Tom in Vancouver. Tommy!
Hello, gentlemen.
What up, Tom? How you doing?
Man, I listened to the pod you guys put out before this, and now I'm listening to you here, and it just, it was so, there's so much content, and I can't get to it. I know that.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you listening.
Because there's, oh my God, it was just crazy, the amount of stuff you got going here. I want to keep up the energy, and I have to say that, Elliot, I'm probably going to be one of the only people that agrees with
there
you.
There we go. Oh, well, Tom, you're definitely one of the best callers. So this counts double in terms of
why, Tom? Why? Tell me why you like Gannon.
I don't think a defensive scheme was the problem. I think it was the personnel. If you look after week eight, they went from too high safety to more or too high to one high, really. And so he was trying to adjust. If you look at the opening drive versus the GOAT, there's a good chance they would have been able to stop them.
Agreed.
If it wasn't for that roughing the passer call.
Yeah.
Then we've got Slay, who is playing off, and that annoyed the hell out of me.
Right.
But the thing is, Nelson can't play man. And I know it's possible to have one guy play man and one guy play off. That is done.
Nelson can play man when he has no one to cover. It was Mike Evans and no one. You're telling me Steve Nelson can't lock down Tyler Johnson or Scotty Miller or whoever?
I like Steven Nelson, but there's a reason he went unsigned.
I agree, but like we're not asking him to cover Mike Evans. We're asking Darius Slay to cover Mike Evans if you go man.
Right.
Like, go man. Give your corners a shot because, Tom, I get your point, but like what you're doing didn't work. It didn't work the first time against Brady, and it clearly wasn't working the second time. Like, adjust, change, coordinate.
So if playing a lot of nickel or dime, if you're going to do that, you need to have an athletic linebacker. And I'm an Alex Singleton fan, but, you know, even Ike says Alex Singleton is like Ike in terms of career. He's not supposed to be a starting linebacker. And I know that they've got some other good ones, but they're not as athletic as what you need.
Singleton is a bad tackler, and he's slow. Like, I like Singleton. I do. He's a really good, and I think Ike is better than Singleton was.
But Ike was definitely better.
Yeah, but regardless, like, to take the Ike part out of it, Singleton's one of the worst tacklers in the league. I mean, sorry, on the team. So
led
I don't,
the team in tackles, for what it's worth.
Well, but he also missed a ton of tackles, especially against the Buccaneers. I don't trust him blitzing is ultimately where it comes down
Look,
to.
Look, again.
McLeod's slow. You can't blitz him.
Ultimately, like, you have to get the most out of these guys. Like, you have to find ways to run a scheme that's going to combat the opponent you're playing. You don't just say, come on in, do what you got to do. I can't do what I want to do, so I guess just do what you want. No! Like, do something as a coordinator.
Okay, I'd like to do a slight pivot about QB for
Go
a moment. Howie, I think he's going to make a run for an elite QB, and I agree with the take that you guys had in your pod, that he is a smart guy. He knows he's a politician. He knows how to deal with the media. And he is not going to reveal all of his cards. And I think that's why he was pro-Hurts, because at this point in time, he recognizes there's a lot of competition for elite QBs. He's probably not going to be able to make it, and there are not a lot of QBs in this draft class. So he's probably not going to go for them.
Yeah, Tommy, good call. I think we're kind of on the same page in the terms that I think they're definitely looking. Like, I don't think they're shutting it down. I just think that Howie knows it's pretty unlikely he's going to get Wilson, pretty unlikely he's going to get Rodgers, and I think that he is playing. I think they were stronger on their support of Hurts than I expected, but I get why, even if they're not going to keep him. But I think, like, if I'm betting right now, I would bet that Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback week one of 2020.
I agree. And you say looking. I think the better word is looked. Like, they looked.
Yeah,
that's
my point.
Yeah,
I think he knows.
Yes.
I think he knows what the market is and that he is very, very unlikely.
They tried to get Deshaun Watson last year, couldn't get him. Or they reportedly tried to trade up for Zach Wilson, couldn't get him, right? Like, I'm sure that they had talks about Russell Wilson. So I think they've tried to upgrade. They were unable to. And now, unless something changes, yeah, Hurts is going to be the guy. I don't think we should completely rule out drafting somebody, but ultimately, yes. I think that Hurts is like the heavy favorite to be the starter.
And something I said earlier in the season even with the idea of if Hurts were the guy next season is I wouldn't be shocked, and people are talking about it now, if Howie uses some of the draft capital to try and load up a little bit for next year.
Yeah.
And that way it gives him that optionality. And yeah, we're going in with Hurts, but Jalen, if you're not good enough, now I have two first-round picks and a second this year that I can play with so that I can go up and get someone if we want him, or I can trade for the next quarterback that shakes loose, because they always do.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a really interesting offseason from that perspective. 215-592-9494 if you want to weigh in on the Hurts thing, whether you believe Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni, what they said about defending Hurts, essentially that he will be the starter for 2022, where you comment on that. And, of course, the great Gannon debate. Would it be a loss?
Finally here.
Would it be all season leading up to this? Would it be a loss? I mean, it is the hottest name right now, one of the hottest names in the coaching circles. He is apparently the front runner for the Texans job. Would it be a big loss for the Eagles if they lose Jonathan Gannon? 215-592-9494. It's Elliot. It's James. It's Go Birds Radio. Let me remind you that one of the things that we love most about our Park Sportsbook app is that it's not just about the teams and only picking teams when you place your bets. They offer all kinds of action and so many different ways to bet on individual player performances. It makes watching the games that much more exciting in football. You can bet passing and rushing yards, bet on who scores touchdowns and hoops. You can bet points, rebounds, assists, hockey, bet on goal scores, and so much more. Plus, with the live in-game betting and wildly popular same-game parlays, the Park Sportsbook app is custom-made for you, and that's why it's the only one that we here at Go Birds recommend. And talking about the same-game parlays and betting on individual player performances, no better weekend for that than this one, as there are playoff games. There's obviously no fantasy, all that kind of stuff. Like, this is it. Bet on these guys. Go in. There's all kinds of great odds on quarterbacks, receivers, runners, and, of course, the games themselves. I like Tennessee in this first one, and you can hear it right here on WIP. So get the app. Here's what you do. You download the app. You get your first bet risk-free for $500. Download the app. Bet on these games today. And more than anything, it's more fun to watch these games if you have a little action on it. So again, sign up now. Make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player or player you're watching, or bet any game. Download the app and get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Go to parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your first bet risk-free. Your first risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The Park Sportsbook app, the website, has all the terms and conditions. It is Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you. Debating Jonathan Gannon. Never done that before.
For wherever you fall on the Gannon debate, it is crazy that he's this close, it seems, to getting one.
It's what, like, because again, and I know our first caller went the other way, but I will be surprised if the majority of callers today are not more on my side than on your side. At least that's the tone that I've felt when it comes to Jonathan Gannon from the fan base. And yes, I can't remember a time where we had someone in this city who was so, I mean, dislike's probably a strong word, but so.
Oh, I think dislike is fair.
Fine. Yeah. So disliked by this fan base who is apparently loved by the rest of the league like Gannon.
Well, this guy wouldn't qualify, but I think Gannon is in the same group that, like, Aguilar was in, Reagor, where they can do no right now. Like, even the games where they play well, and they're, look, there's not a lot for Reagor, so there's not a ton of examples for that.
What game?
But my point is, and I think you would agree with this, there are definitely, like, athletes or coaches that get just on the bad list in this town, right? Like, where people cannot stand them. And Gannon is there. Like, Gannon is absolutely there.
215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone, see what the people think. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to our brother Justin. What up, pal?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing today?
How you feeling?
How you feeling, buddy? I know you're a little sick right now, huh?
Yeah, I feel okay. I woke up with a pretty bad sore throat this morning, a little fever, but I'm all right. I'm hanging in there.
Good to look at you, playing through it, man.
Not just playing through it. Justin is tearing through Game of Thrones episodes.
Oh, is he?
My man has watched like six or five seasons in like a week and a half. It's unbelievable.
It's a great show, so.
Yeah, we had never watched it before, and we finally broke down and started watching it. And it's, like I said, if my wife hadn't went back to work this week, we would have probably finished it.
I wish I could rewatch that show again.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. And unfortunately, I have to say, if you're a character, Elliot, I would kind of put you in with Littlefinger, because I don't know which way you're going to go from the net.
Wow,
dude.
I like that. Look at that.
All right, yeah, I feel like that's a bit of an insult, but I know you don't mean it that way. Yeah.
I don't mean it that way, but I mean, you can't trust Littlefinger. You don't know which way he's going to go from the next. Would I fire Gannon? No.
Unless I knew I could get
Thank you, Justin.
Fangio or Winkle.
Wink
Martindale.
But
would you agree that's a similar statement too? I would stick with Hurts unless I could trade for Russell.
All right,
flipping
around. Justin, do you think it would be a huge loss if the Eagles lost Jonathan
Gannon? They don't get Fangio.
No, it would not be a huge loss if they lost Jonathan Gannon. Because just like James said, he didn't prove it. I mean, it's not – if he would have had one good game against what we call a good quarterback, it would have been fine. But the guys that they dominated were terrible, were second and third string quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, Derek Carr, like he said, had 90% completion percentage. And, yeah, I understand you don't want to get beat, but what's worse, death of 1,000 paper cuts or just shoot me in the head?
Well, what's worse is
–
I'll tell you what's worse. firing Gannon and hiring a coordinator that might be a complete disaster. Like, say what you will about Gannon, he's not a disaster. Like, the floor is relatively high with Gannon. If the biggest flaw he has is he can't beat great quarterbacks, it's a flaw, and it'll hurt the Eagles, but it's not, like, a fatal flaw. They made the playoffs, right?
It's a fatal flaw if you want to win championships.
Yes, he has to
be a great team.
He has to improve. There's no denying. He has to improve. But my point is, there's a possibility they hire a candidate that's, like, a disaster, and Gannon's not a disaster.
No, but I mean, it's like I said. He wasn't even close to stopping any of the really good quarterbacks that we faced this year. Not even close.
No, I disagree.
What do you mean you disagree? They were over 80%.
Let me tell you why.
Sure.
In the playoff game, right, they had him at 17 points at halftime, which is not great, but they had like 4 or 5 3 and outs in a row. They were playing better. Ultimately, they were playing better.
They also were playing against a team that lost their starting center, lost their best offensive lineman, and was already missing two of their three best receivers.
Yeah.
All right, but you thought
and their best running back.
I mean, they still have Tom Brady. Like, they still have Tom Brady.
Justin, you're the best, brother.
Well,
feel better.
One more thing, real quick, I'll get off.
Sure.
Throw out a congratulations to my good Twitter buddy, Seamus Clancy. See where he got engaged last night.
Great.
Congratulations, buddy. I'm gonna get off here, keep listening. Love you, boys, mate.
Love you too, buddy. Yeah. Oh, shout out to Seamus. I love Seamus. I know Seamus. You know.
Yeah.
Not super well, but I've hung out with Seamus before and
it's
all
a big
that.
Big Twitter guy.
And Ashley, like, what a story. The fact
I know.
That, if for those who don't know, Seamus, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, tweeted out the famous picture from a war vet or whatever, and his girl
when he returned home.
When he returned home from war, dipping her and kissing her with City Hall in the background. And he was like, who wants to recreate this picture with me, you know, at the parade? And this girl Ashley just runs, I'll do it. They do the picture, and now 3 years later or whatever, 4 years later, they're getting married.
It's truly unbelievable.
It is an all-time great story.
It's almost like movie-worthy in a way.
It is absolutely movie-worthy.
Yeah, so shout out to him. Congrats.
Really,
great
really
Eagle
cool.
fan story, too. Even if you don't know Seamus.
Exactly.
It's a great Eagle fan
It's a really
fan
good
story.
One. 215-592-9494. The next caller, I don't know if Eagle fan is the best way to describe him. Eagle hater? Deep down, maybe an Eagle fan?
Yeah. Well, he's an Elliott fan. He brings me up all the time.
Well, good.
So.
I'm excited to see whose side he's on today. I'm going to guess it's mine. We're going to find out. Let's go to our buddy in King of Prussia, Mad Mike, the one who makes him mad. What up, buddy?
Hey, guys. I don't know.
What up,
I
Mike?
I feel like the sun's shining a little brighter today.
Buddy,
like,
are you an Eagles fan, man? Come on.
I am an Eagles fan. I'm just not a fan of this front office or any of the people that run the show or the marionette puppet coach or
it's just so weird you wouldn't be a fan of the front office. Like, they get in the playoffs all the time, they've won a Super Bowl, they win playoff games. Like, what do you want them to win the Super Bowl every year? What would make you a fan?
Winning against garbage teams that have no quarterbacks to even play for them, and then they're just a fraud.
Well, you think the Eagles are a garbage team with no quarterback. So
Well,
yes, you do. You absolutely do. You thought they'd win 4 games, and you think Hurts is trash. So what other than a garbage team with no quarterback?
Trash, and now everybody's coming to my side.
Not everybody's coming to your side.
You're
That's not true.
To my side.
I'm not
you
coming
know
to
you
your
think
side.
You be back. Yes,
no.
You are.
Oh yeah, no. We both think Hurts should be a quarterback next year.
Do you think Hurts should be the quarterback next year?
No.
Okay. Well, I do. So we're not on the
too.
Same side.
You do not. You think that they should be actively looking for a better quarterback?
No, Mike. You got to listen closer. Elliott said he thinks they will be out looking for a quarterback. He does not think they should. I do podcasts with Elliott. Elliott absolutely thinks that Hurts should be the quarterback.
I would not trade 3 first round picks for the quarterback.
Listen, this is the thing, guys. This league is a passing league. This quarterback cannot pass the ball correctly.
He has to improve. I agree. The passing game was the biggest issue.
He's not good enough. And I'm sorry, it shouldn't be this difficult for somebody that's played at this level or played at high levels to be able to throw the ball to open receivers. He can't see it, and it's a knock on him that they're like, he can't read a defense, and that's embarrassing. And I'm just like, I just want better for this team. I want them to, like, actually go out and do the right thing. And let's be real honest with ourselves. If everybody that calls in and says, oh, they should just build up the team, well, they're going to build up with, like, they're going to draft a defensive end that's going to be out of Purdue who's not going to do enough. Then they're just going to waste all these picks, and they're just going to be a middling team that can't get the quarterback that they want because they don't have the position to do it, and they're in the position now to do it.
Well, they're not a middling team, number one.
They're middling to low end. They're middling.
If you want to say one season,
elite in the future either, Elliott. They're not going to be elite next year or the year after
Mike,
that or the
are,
year after
Mike,
that.
Mike, what a ray of sunshine. pal.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm a ray of realism. Like,
but you're not a ray of realism. It's not hard to always predict they're going to be bad. It's not hard to do that.
I think you go too far.
But everybody else with the realism. Not able to figure out that they're going to be bad, and I'm the only one.
And you weren't able to figure out.
You were wrong, Mike.
Acknowledge you were wrong,
Mike. You said four wins, Mike. Hold up, because you're taking a victory lap right now because they lost a playoff game, Mike. You said four wins, dude. You said worst team in football.
Hold up, Mike.
I'm going to put you on hold if you don't hold up for a sec. You were wrong. It's okay to come back and have your takes on that, but you got to say when you're wrong. Like, admit it, man. You were wrong about the team. They were better than you thought. Doesn't mean they're good. They were better than you thought.
I will say that they won more than four games, but I also say that they played teams that had
a big concession
no
by you.
All right, Mike. But we'll talk to you later, pal. Like, come on.
Big concession.
I'm sorry. Like, at a certain point, and I think Mike does have some good points about, like, I agree with him about the front office. I'm not a huge fan of the front office, all that stuff. But, like, at a certain point, you can't say things and be wrong
right. And
not say, I'm wrong before we are supposed to go on with what else you say. Okay?
I agree.
So, Mike, next time you're going to call up and say, I'm wrong, and then we'll go from there. Sound good? 215-592-9494.
Taking over.
He's got to do what he got to do. Here's a guy who I know. Maybe he's never been wrong, but certainly in this case will not fight about it. When he is wrong, he'll say it. What up, Ike in Southwest Philly? My guy. How you doing?
What's up, y'all? What's going on? Love the show, man.
What a pleasure, man. What a pleasure. How you been?
Yo, shoot, I'm wrong a lot, man.
We all are.
I'm humble enough to admit that.
Yeah.
Yo, here's the thing, man. I don't understand this to the station all week, like the ridiculous amount of negativity. And the reason I say that is because I'm looking at the full picture of this year. Where we started this year, we had the worst, according to some people, we had the worst roster in the league.
Yep.
We had a bumpkin for a coach after his first draft, which I disagree with, give a person a chance. And I think, and go against you, my man, Jimmy, that they did get the best out of this talent.
I'm kidding.
Hold on. I'm not saying Gannon was good this year, like that good this year, because I didn't like the little vanilla off defense. But, like, if you think about our roster supposedly being that bad and we made the playoffs, then by definition, we got a lot out of this team in offense and defense. Not saying that they're great. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you to a point. I also do think, though, and here's where I was wrong, I underrated the roster coming in. I thought they were one of the worst rosters in the NFL. They weren't. I mean, the offensive line was the best in the NFL, or at least like top three or whatever you want to say. Like, they had more talent than I thought they did coming into the season. That was something I was wrong
about. But I'll throw this to you, Ike, too. Like, how much of that, though, do you think is the coaches getting that out of it? Like, I get your point that you could have underrated the talent, like the actual level of talent on the roster. But if the roster is better than you thought, I also think the coaches deserve some credit for getting more out of the roster than you thought, too. You know, like, I think there's a reason it's better than you thought.
That's a good point. And listen, just to go off of the theme of Mad Mike, the opposite of Mad Mike, I'll admit I was wrong. I overrated the receivers.
Yeah, me too.
That's coming into the season. I remember talking to y'all. I love the receivers, and I was wrong because I love the speed or whatever. But I'm going to just say this. For Howie in this offseason, when you're drafting, go for the best player, regardless of position. I would love for him to go for the best player on defense, but go for the best player. That's how you raise your talent, when you take the best player, not just worrying about the position. And I love the cornerback from Cincinnati, and I need one of them linebackers, either the boy from Utah or the boy from Georgia.
Give me the coach.
Y'all be easy, man. Love the show.
Ike, always a pleasure.
Good to hear from you.
And look, I do think you made a good point there. And I best player available, obviously. We talk about that. But I did really like Howie's answer to the Zach Berman question about building and philosophy and where you're at. And I liked hearing Howie say, like, until we're a one seed, until we're a two seed, until we're that level of team, we're building. And I appreciated that, because in the past, I feel like Howie's kind of, we're always going for it in Philly. We're always, you know, like, that was his mentality. And I appreciated hearing him take a step back and be like, we're still building. Like, we're going to get good football players here, and that's going to be our goal. And it should be. And I thought that was a really good thing to hear.
And the thing about the best player on the board, I also think that is a need in the way that, like, everyone's like, you need a linebacker, a safety. What they need on defense is playmakers.
Yep.
Like, somebody that the opposing offense is worried about facing.
Yeah.
In whatever position that is,
they
really only have Darius Slay.
Yep.
And I guess maybe Javon Curse. But Javon Hargrave,
yeah.
Wow. That 04 conversation.
Hey,
yeah.
We had an interesting 04 versus 17 conversation. We'll get into it.
Yeah,
in a bit.
No, playmakers are top need on defense.
215-592-9494. Where do you stand on this team after the season? Hurts and all that. And Jonathan Gannon, it looks like there is a shockingly real chance that he is going to get a head coaching job.
Going
in
around impressing the league, and you're just sitting there
the
hating.
Yeah. Would it be a big loss for this team if they lost Gannon? It's Elliot. It's James. It's Go Birds Radio. We'll be right back. It is Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Short, Parks, James Seltzer with you till 3. John Johnson after that, and then playoff football.
Good games, too.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this.
You're
weekend.
A big Titans guy. Like, I know you, like, respect what they've done. You
Mike
think they're
Vrabel.
Underrated.
I think
yeah.
he's a really good coach.
I'm excited to see the Bengals versus them.
Yeah, like a good quarterback versus that. It's definitely the you're taking the good quarterback or you're taking the good team type of
Man,
thing.
Man, that offense, like Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. Like,
yeah.
They
got talent all around. Tyler Boyd's their third receiver.
I know.
Yeah.
Their line's not great.
No, but they're a fun team to watch. I still think Tennessee is going to take them.
So you taking Titans?
I'm taking the Titans, yeah.
All right, then what about the night game?
I'm taking the Packers.
I think so, too.
Yeah, it seems like there's, like, a lot of buzz out there. The Niners, and the Niners beat them the last couple times they played them
right.
in the playoffs, if you remember all that. But, man, it just doesn't feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to be done this week.
I don't think they'll be one and done. Ultimately.
I don't either.
I was asked this week, like, which game is least likely to have an upset, and I think it's the Packers.
I mean, it's the biggest line, so that would make sense. But, yeah, I agree.
Well, it's how it's a type of insider knowledge you get there, you know.
It's dynamite stuff.
Yeah.
Who's the biggest favorite? Packers. That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then I was asked biggest chance at an upset, and I said Titans.
Okay, so that's not the shortest line. So,
right.
Yeah,
that was a little more
The Bills, technically the biggest chance at an upset. They're only like a 1.5-point under.
I was going to say that one should pretty much be a pick 'em.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. The Eagles not playing this weekend.
No.
Partially because of Jonathan Gannon and his horrible defense.
Well, mostly not. Yeah, mostly because the offense is terrible.
That. And, of course, Hurts, all that. 215-592-9494 as we wrap the season. Let's go to Doylestown and talk to my buddy Bob. Bobby, how are you, sir?
Good, James. How are you?
Good, man.
Elliot,
pleasure.
How are you today?
What up, Bob? How you doing?
Good, good. Happy New Year also.
You too.
Question. Actually, I had called in Elliot during the week, and I want to run this past both you guys. And
okay.
James, you probably have an idea where I'm going with all this. I'd like to, like, sort of reflect over the last 12 months. A year ago this time, we were all pretty down because of the lack of wins and just the direction the team was going in. This year, 9 wins, drastic improvement. We made the playoffs, which experience-wise, I think that's very valuable for the future.
I agree.
Real quick, Bobby, I'm going to let you go. I think it is valuable, but, like, let's not get too carried away. The 2017 Eagles had barely any playoff experience, and they won the Super Bowl. Like, so I do think it matters. I'm not going to totally take it away, but I don't think it's this, like, massive thing that, like, how can you win without playoff experience, if you know what I mean.
Correct. But, I mean, we had a quarterback.
I think it helps.
Oh, yeah. We had a quarterback that didn't want to be with us. We moved on from that. We capitalized on draft capital. We've got a lot of possibilities moving forward. We'll have more cap space. There's a lot of arrows pointing up. Now, being objective, I think there's an eye out there looking for a quarterback, but I don't think they necessarily are going to make a drastic move just for the sake of making a move. If this is me, we can go another year with Hurts, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, our offensive line is pretty solid. I feel we need a veteran receiver.
Absolutely. 100% agree, Bob.
And then what I do, Elliot, and this is where I'm getting, but I'll give you these things and I'll listen to you guys. I think we need a safety. I think we need a linebacker, and we need pass rush.
Yeah.
I would work on
number
building my
one
defense.
Pass rush.
I would possibly take one of my first-round choices, move it to next year in case the quarterback situation doesn't work out. We have flexibility
That's
the following
my plan,
year.
Bob. That's my exact plan.
Right. And this, James, you know I'm in your camp here, buddy. Elliot, I'm telling you right now, I will rent the bus. I want Gannon gone. And I feel that the special teams coach needs to go, too, with him.
Bobby,
because I thought special teams was horrible this year.
Bobby, fantastic call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
Always a pleasure.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, so, look, Great call. Agree 100% on Gannon. Quickly, Michael Clay is someone, like, usually we all, you know, Dave Phipp, we talked about Dave Phipp for years. Like, we usually, like, there's talk about all the main coaches usually. Nothing really about Michael Clay. It was a look, again, I think of all the coaches, the roster hurts Michael Clay the most.
I agree with that.
That was something I talked about coming into the season, the depth on the roster. And the injuries weren't as bad as expected. They were really healthy this year. But, like, I worried about the depth, and I think that came through on special teams. Like, they were not a particularly good special teams club. Obviously, Rager being a disaster,
yeah,
as Parmenter hurts that. What do you think of Michael Clay in year one and kind of moving forward? Is there anything you saw there that makes you – I mean, you're around him a lot more. You've seen
Well, this is what I was going to say. So what's interesting is if you would have told me, Elliot, you could hire either one as a head coach, Jonathan Gannon or Michael Clay, I would pick Michael Clay.
Whoa!
I think Michael Clay has much more of, like, a head coach
charisma,
vibe about him. Yeah.
Really? And he's only 29, so obviously a long
– Right, but I would still take him over Gannon if I had to pick.
Wow.
But regardless, I know the special team stat numbers were not good this year. I thought, like, from an purely eye test perspective, and I get this is hypocritical coming off the whole game, but just this is my opinion on it. I didn't think they looked as bad as the number said. I think Rager being a terrible punt returner really helped them. They have
no kick returner.
They did have the big punt block against Carolina, which, like, if you can say if the special teams won you one game all year, I think that's a good outcome in some ways.
I agree.
Like, they didn't lose them any games,
any,
and they won them a game. So I think certainly talent plays a large role, because that was bottom half the roster. Not even bottom half. It was, you know, the bottom of the roster.
Bottom of the roster.
So, yeah, I think he was good enough.
Let's go to South Philly and talk to Henry. Hey, Henry.
Hey, what's up, fellas? First time, long time. Love the show.
Nice,
my man. Appreciate
you
calling
in.
All right. So at the end of the regular season, I was okay with Gannon in for year two. You know, get him some talent, get him another year with experience, whatever. But seeing him on, like, 5-6 interviews – it's starting to rub me the wrong way with this guy. Like, you just want to show up here. Yeah, Gannon. He just wants to show up, put a mediocre at best product on the field, and then peace, and, like, just take the next step up. If I'm a player, I'm kind of annoyed. Like,
one year,
like, he doesn't want to build relationships.
Yeah, but
it's hard to blame someone
for getting a head coach job. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, you did consider this, Henry.
I hear if
he gets a head coaching job, he'll get, I would say, I don't know, at least 2 years guaranteed at, like, $3 or $4 million a year.
I mean,
like,
David Culley made $22 million for
exactly,
one year.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I get your point, Henry.
It's life changing money on top of the opportunity.
I get your point, though, Henry, in the way that, like, it is crazy to think he's already dipping. Like, I do understand your point, but ultimately, I cannot blame him for doing it. I wouldn't do it if I were him. Like, if it was up to me, well, let me take that.
Yeah,
back.
It depends, too. Like, the Broncos job, absolutely. The Texans job, you can make an argument maybe after what just happened with Culley in the 1 year. And honestly, I think winning 4 games with the roster yet is actually, like, not a bad job by David
Culley. I agree.
But the way that all played out, the dysfunction in that organization, the whole Deshaun Watson mess, like, you could make an argument that it's worth waiting for a better opportunity than take the Texans job. I think we can get the Vikings job, the Broncos job. Those are solid enough jobs I think you would have to take.
I hear you. He doesn't want to build anything. Like, doesn't he have a desire to put a good defense on the field? Like, he hasn't done.
I think that's
one year as a defensive coordinator.
I think he has a desire to become a head coach.
Yeah, I get your point, Henry, and like, on a holistic sense, like, I agree with the philosophy you're espousing, but, like, I just don't think you can blame the guy, because it's a head coach. There's 32 in the world, 32 of this job, the top of your profession. You do this your life to be at the top of the profession. Like, it's hard to say, like, oh, don't take that because you're supposed to build in year two as a DC here. I couldn't blame the guy.
All right, yeah. No, it's all fair. All fair. I'm just vibes.
No,
Thanks, guys.
It.
Love the show.
Yeah, keep calling, man. Thanks, buddy. That was a good call, and definitely call again.
I also think there's something to be said for just striking while the iron's hot. I mean, for whatever, you know, and we disagree on the job that he did. But if people out there want to hire you, like, it's dangerous. Look at Brian Daboll, and it looks like he'll probably get a job.
But there are guys who are hot and then go away and never end up getting a job.
Yeah.
Absolutely that happens.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's an interesting question, like, if I was Gannon, what I would do. Because on one hand, it's like, well, obviously you go become the head coach. Like, there's only 32 of them, you're going to get a big raise, all those things. On the other hand, like, the Eagles have a good thing going. The defense, you would think they're going
to... head coach, you have to take it.
No, I agree, but I'm just saying, from, like, a lifestyle standpoint, do you really want to go fail with the Texans? Like, that's it. Like, you are going to fail with the Texans, let's be real. I know he has to believe in himself and whatever. I'm sure you don't. Like, does anybody out there actually think he's going to be a great head coach?
No,
right. So part of me is like, I don't know, man. Stick around. Wait for a better opportunity. And, yeah, so it's a tough decision.
215-592-9494. Where do you stand on Jonathan Gannon? Would it be a big loss if he gets one of these head coaching jobs and the Eagles have to start over, so to speak, defensive coordinator. And also Jalen Hurts, the end of the season, where you're at with him. And coming up next, too, Elliot teased it kind of before. We had an interesting kind of fun debate about the 2004 Eagles versus the 2017 Eagles. We want to get your thoughts on that next. 215-592-9494. It's Elliot James, Scobirds Radio. Let me remind you again. Then one of the things that we love most about our Park Sportsbook app is that it's not just about the teams and only picking teams when you place your bets. That's fun. But they also offer lots of actions and so many different ways to bet on individual player performances. It makes watching the games that much more exciting in football. You can bet on passing and rushing yards, bet on who's going to score touchdowns and hoops. You can bet on points, rebounds, assists, and hockey. Bet on goal scorers and so much more. Plus, with the live in-game betting and the wildly popular same-game parlays, the Park Sportsbook app is custom-made for you, and that's why it's the only one that we here at Go Birds recommend. And again, there's nothing more fun than watching these games and having a little action on them. You're just way more invested in these games, and it is super fun to scroll through and see the yardage over-unders. And listen, the live in-game betting, like, you can make money with this. Like, if you go in liking Tennessee today, let's say, and they go down 7-0 early, bet on their money line. You're going to get way better odds than if you bet on it now. You can take advantage of this system. It goes up and down. It's wild swings, and it is a chance to make some money. And again, more than anything, it's just way more fun when you got some action on these games. Sign up now. Make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player or player you're watching, or, of course, bet any game. Just download the app and get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just go to parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your first bet risk-free. Your risk-free bet is refunded and site credit. The Park Sportsbook app website has all the terms and conditions.
Hallelujah!
Jim, James, Jimothy.
Elliot.
GoBirds Radio! Presented by Park Casino and Sportsbook Hour 2 for Elliot and James. That's me. That's you.
That is you.
That's me.
No denying that. That's big. Look, we can disagree on Gannon. We can disagree on if it's a successful year.
Yeah.
You're definitely James.
Yeah, you're definitely Elliot. So there we go.
Facts.
This is the dynamite radio that we bring you every Saturday, 1 to 3. Coming up later, John Johnson at 3 o'clock. And then Tennessee Titans versus the Cincinnati Bengals after that. And then after that, more football. So you don't have to change the station all day.
Quick rapid, quick fire question. This time next year, are the Eagles playing in this round of the playoffs? Yes or no? You don't have to explain your answer. Just say yes or no. All right, well, it's not quick fire.
I don't know. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, like right now, if I had to guess, and again, there's a whole offseason, there's moves, we don't know who's going to be the quarterback, all that stuff, but if I had to guess, I would think they're probably going to 9-8-8-9 team again next year.
Yeah. Like, I would guess no if I had to guess.
Yeah, I think no's a fair guess.
I think that's like a safe, that's the safer guess if you had to bet it.
It is a safer guess. Yeah. So that was where I wanted to go, but I'm also like, yeah, that would be really a bummer.
Well, I mean, look, we're here to tell the truth.
You're damn right, buddy.
Unless we're wrong.
Yeah, no, unless we're Mad Mike, and then we'll refuse to say. 215-592-9494. Debating Jonathan Gannon. Would it be a huge loss for the Eagles if they lost him? Plus, coming up in a minute, Elliot and I had a fun little hypothetical discussion about the 2017 team versus the 2014. We want to get your thoughts on that. First, let's go back to the phones and go to Roxborough and talk to Frank. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What up, Frank? How you doing?
Yeah, first of all, Jalen Hurts.
Yes, sir.
I think he deserves another season because let's put some talent around him.
Yeah.
And then we can make a real
informed
good judgment.
Decision. It is a good point. Look, I mean, he literally had two guys, and granted, you could say the offensive line is talented,
which is
right?
huge.
And the running backs were good enough, certainly throughout the course of the season, that the stable of guys they had. But in terms of pass catchers, like Dallas Goedert and Devontae Smith, it was it. So you could argue there wasn't a lot of talent.
Where I would push back on you, Frank, though, is, like, of course you want to put more talent around him. But he had an elite offensive line, an elite running game, an elite tight end, and a really good receiver. Like, wherever you want to put Devontae. Really, the only place he didn't have a great player was opposite Devontae.
But Devontae was not elite yet.
No, Devontae, but he was good.
A nice receiver this year. He's not like a one this year. Like, I think he can be and will be, but like this season, Devontae Smith was not he wasn't even Jamar Chase, much less Diggs, type of guys.
And guys, we're talking like he's only 23. Like, we're talking like he's never going to get like this is his ceiling, and that's it,
Frankie.
Frank, I don't believe that.
Frank, that's been the thing that I keep bringing up over and over and over again is how young he is. And to assume that he can't get better is silly. Again, like Elliot keeps bringing up, he's younger than Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
He's younger than Carson Wentz was when he first started playing for the Eagles. Like, Jalen is super young, man. Like, so I'm with you on that, Frank.
He needs some coaching up. Why can't we bring in a guy like Buffalo brought in for Josh Allen to work with them?
Yeah, I think he improved. I mean, I don't think he wasn't worse this
year. And
look,
I'm sure he is going to be working with someone this offseason. We don't know if it'll be Jordan Palmer or whatever, but like he's going to be working with someone this offseason.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question to kind of circle back to the topic of the day. I agree that Hurts' age is in his favor. Like, he is young, he's younger than Kenny Pickett, you know, I don't know if he still is younger than Carson, but was, you know, that stat that he was younger in his first start than Carson was in his whatever. And people think Sirianni can grow. Like, Gannon's very young for defensive coordinator.
I'm
just
curious.
I can't
believe it took you an hour and 5 minutes to make the best point that I've been waiting. I was really happy he didn't say this the whole show because you're right.
You're right. Like, it's the best point.
It's the best point. He's
bad job by me.
Old,
yeah.
And it was his first year as defensive coordinator. I was waiting, though. I wasn't going to feed it to you. But
I respect that.
I don't have a great comeback to that. I was very disappointed when I saw this year. But, like, if you want to say, hey, he's 39 years old, super well respected, and it was first time ever being a defensive coordinator, then I could be like, you know what? That's a decent argument. And I did not think he was good enough so that I'm, like, excited for him to get better. But could he be better? Sure, absolutely. So I do think that's a really fair point. I still have to go with what I saw and the mistakes that he made this year, the defenses we saw and all that, and say that I was not impressed with this guy. But it's a very fair comeback.
Well, and that's one of my Gannon things is I think the floor is high with Gannon. Like, you're right that he might not have the potential for the blitzing thing. I don't think they have the personnel to blitz, but I also don't know if they did, if Gannon could do it. Like, I don't know if he'd be able to scheme up a blitz because he really, from my eyes, and again, I'm not like an amazing all 22 X's and O's breakdown, but from watching it, to me, it did not look like they tried to do a lot of creative blitzing. So can he do it with better personnel? I don't know. He might not be able to. But why I think Gannon would be a loss is we know the floor is relatively high. Like, we know that you can feel pretty confident going into next year that when they play bad offenses, this defense will play well enough to win, and that should not be overlooked.
Coming up in a minute, we'll get to our fun hypothetical with the 04 and 2017. First, let's go to North Carolina and talk to Dan. Hey, Danny.
Jamesy and ESP.
Love
How
that.
You doing, fellas?
I'm good, buddy.
What
How
up,
you?
Man?
All right, I'm a pod listener.
Yes,
I haven't called in for a couple of months. I must say, one of the most entertaining times for me as a pod listener was trying to listen to Elliot decipher the Jaws theme song, and he couldn't get it for an hour.
Well, you know, to be fair, the quote was given to me incorrectly in retrospect.
I'm aware. You still should have got it.
It's a different debate.
Thank you, Dan.
The point is, it was given to me incorrectly.
Yes.
All right, fellas. I want to get down to one thing that you always say on the podcast, and that's that you guys are a bottom-line podcast.
True.
And are a bottom-line stat.
I like where this is
so
going.
What would you say is the most bottom-line stat for judging a team's success? Is it wins? Is it touchdowns? Is it DVOS?
I think it's wins. I think bottom-line, like most bottom-line, again, I think context matters in a lot of cases, but bottom-line, wins.
All right, and so by wins, therefore playoffs and playoff appearances and wins, et cetera, along that
sure.
line.
Sure, look,
and,
you get unlucky, like the Chargers.
James is already pushing back.
No, I'm just saying, like not all 9-win seasons are created equal. Yes. You made 9-win. The Chargers went 9-8. They didn't make the playoffs. The Eagles went 9-8.
Agreed.
They did. The Saints didn't make the playoffs 9-8. And that's how it all plays out, but I'm just putting a little context in there. But yes, wins, playoff appearance, playoff wins, that's the stuff that bottom line matters most.
All right, James, you're going to be upset that you said this.
He's already upset. I can see it in his eyes. He knows this isn't going his way.
Yeah.
He claims to be a bottom-line guy, but he is not really a bottom-line guy.
I'm a context
for what it's worth.
Bottom-line guy.
That's fine. Admit that. Yeah.
Go ahead,
since
Danny.
Since 2010, when the current general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles rank 11 in wins, 8 in playoff makes, 10 in playoff wins, and are only one of 9 teams to win the Super Bowl. So I have a question for you, James, specifically.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If you are a bottom-line podcast and you just said wins and playoff appearances are the most important way to measure that, how can you sit there and say that Howie Roseman is not top 10, maybe top 15, general manager in the NFL for the past 10 years for Philadelphia Eagles?
Hold up. I could say that I've admitted that Howie has had great years. Like, I think he was the best general manager in football in 2017. I'm talking about now. And if you want to, like, we can spin those wins the way you want. Like, they've only won 4 playoff games since 2008. That's something you consider. 2009, you only won four playoff games.
Is that right?
Yep, four playoff games.
Yeah, they've only won four.
They've only won four. So, I mean, that's another way to look at it. And it was three of them in the same season, right?
I'd be curious to know where that ranks.
They've had two seasons where they won a playoff game since 2009. Like, so, you know, you could take these stats and spin them a lot of different ways. I agree that over his entire tenure, how he absolutely has a track, has had success at times and stuff. But I'm looking at where this team is at and where the downward slope that they have been on from a roster perspective the last few years. But look, even I said at the end of the season that Howie had a better year than I expected. Like, I'm still not a Howie fan, but I can't sit here and say he had a bad year. He had a
I'm curious,
year.
Where would you two rank Howie, just quickly? Like, if you had to, like, would you say he's top 15? Would you say he's top 15, James?
I think he's probably somewhere 15 to 20 range right now.
Okay, yeah, where would you? 15, what would you say, Dan?
Somewhere in there.
I would say around 10. That's just kind of what the rankings indicate. And James, to be fair, you're great at admitting you're wrong. Mad Mike, take notes, buddy.
So true.
But I do want to. There's one. There's two quick points I want to say. One thing, and then I'll let you guys go and get back to the 04-17 debate. One, Elliot always does make the good point that Howie Roseman's good at weathering the ebbs and flows. We've only had four win seasons under Howie Roseman's tutelage, and then been in the playoffs the next year after that every single time. And the other sub 500 season, he was 7-9. So, and the next year they won the Super Bowl. So it's a little slack there.
For sure.
And then. Final one hypothetical for you guys.
Love it.
Maybe to add on to the 04-17 debate. Assuming that they are playing at their same level they played this year for the next 10 years, and assuming when their contracts are up, they are paid their market value, who would you rather have on your team? Jordan Mailata or Justin Jefferson? Boys, I'm going to hang up.
Oh,
great rest of your day.
Dan,
I wonder if he's the one that left that comment.
Dan, call him today. Keep calling. Like, and he didn't even hang up on him. He hung up himself. What a phenomenal call, Dan.
You know what the answer to that question is. You know what it is.
Yeah.
You know that if you had to pick out of the two, it doesn't mean it's not a bad
move. I would have to take Mailata. Yeah. But for those who don't know, Justin Jefferson is like my favorite non-Eagle in the sport. I was devastated when they didn't pick him. I loved him at LSU. Like, this has long been a thing for me. But yeah, like, I think Jordan Mailata has a chance to be a top five tackle in the NFL. Like, you have to take that. Like,
now, let
to.
Me ask you this. What do you think is more true? Like, is the Mailata pick a better pick than the Justin Jefferson was
that
a
the
miss?
Rager was a bad pick?
Because, well, I guess the point I make is I think it's harder to find Jordan Mailata in the seventh round than it is to find Justin Jefferson in the first.
Well,
and he missed, but I think it's a better...
It's the level of miss, though. We're talking about a guy who we think, and I don't think
he's like
he
a
will
top
be.
Three or four receiver
we think,
in the league.
Yeah, well, yeah, but also on the other side, a guy who we think after 2 years should not be an Eagle anymore. He's been that bad.
Yes.
With the other flip of it. Look, I think it's similar. I think it's an interesting question. Look, I've said to you before, I think the Jordan Mailata thing... period, like in and of itself, just picking Jordan Mailata in the seventh round as a rugby player and turning him into what they've turned him into. And as you know, I think Jeff Stoutland deserves all the credit in the world for it. Like, I think it's one of the best picks in the history or last 20 years in the NFL. Like, in terms of getting, if he can turn into what we think he can, and he is a top five tackle in the NFL, and you got that guy as a seventh round rugby player.
Yeah, like late too.
Like, that's an all-time draft pick for any team. So
I
like
agree.
It's I wouldn't degrade it on other, but I do think that the way this is playing out, it also looks like because it's the exact same position and he went the next pick after, Rager over Jefferson is an all-time miss too.
Absolutely, yeah. The interesting thing off the Stoutland, you know how you say he deserves credit for Mailata, and he absolutely does. I mean, Stoutland is like a Hall of Fame assistant coach, right? Where would you fall on the receivers coach for the Eagles? Because where you
I think
look
he did a
at,
bad job.
Well, like Rager has now. Rager might just not be good, and but by that same token, Mailata might just be great. So like Rager's not improved. Quez Watkins, he was like I don't
he
know if I'd
fine.
Say he's improved, but
I just think Quez Watkins is better than his draft spot from a talent perspective.
Yeah, like John Hightower hasn't improved. Arcega Whiteside hasn't improved.
That's a good point.
Devontae Smith was like a coach's dream in terms of like came as an elite route runner, super hard work ethic, great hands. Like, so I don't even know if I can really point to that and be like, he did a great job. If we're going to like praise Stoutland for how well he does with not just Mailata, like, you know, Nate Herbig, like all these guys, I think it's time to start also looking at the receivers coach 100%. And say like, why are none of these players developing?
Yeah. And Aaron Moore had the first receivers coach to actually get back-to-back years in like 7 years or whatever it was. So like he's had 2 years to work with this group, and Devontae, the one guy came in ready to roll, and he didn't.
And like the most ready to roll you could be outside of being skinny.
So, no, I think it's a great point. And granted, to your point, it could be that the talent just isn't good enough and stuff. But I think we absolutely have to look at and say Aaron Moore has not done a great job so far, without question. 215-592-9494. Back to the phones in a sec. So, Elliot, you came to me with a. We're sitting out, kind of planning our show, talking about what we're going to talk about. And you had a fun little hypothetical for me.
Yeah, well, the show didn't take long to plan because it was basically, I think Gannon would be a loss. You said no, and then that was
like,
that.
Yeah, let's go. What else can we talk about?
We had some time to kill. But I was thinking about this. I forget when it was. But, like, which do you think has more time? Which team had more all-time great Eagles? The 2004 team that lost the Super Bowl or the 2017 team that won it? And I think it's interesting because on the surface, like, my initial, like, gut reaction is, oh, it's 04. They had McNabb. They had Dawkins. Like, they had Westbrook. Like, those are all-time great Eagles. Like, those three are probably in the top, I don't know, like, 10 Eagles all-time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Dawkins is the all-time Eagle
right.
for at least our generation for sure. And McNabb is, you know, the best quarterback in the history of the franchise, most people would say, and all
right.
that.
But what's interesting is when we went through it, it was way closer than I expected.
Which is my gut reaction was 2017, too.
Yeah.
I think the thing that, and you can chime in on this. This is the list we came up with. Elliot, why don't you give out the list we came up with for each? We ended up having like 9 and 9. And that there are a few guys who it's like hard to, like David Akers.
Well, we'll go through them.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the 2004 team.
And
here
real
are the,
quick, just to clarify, all-time Eagles is not just how great you are on the field. It's like how great you are on the field, what you meant to the franchise, how the fan base feels about you. Like, are you someone that we will always love and always care about?
Yes. So Donovan McNabb, these are the non-debates. Donovan McNabb, Brian Westbrook, John Runyon, Trey Thomas, Brian Dawkins. And then so this is where it gets a little more.
Those are the five locks.
Yeah. So Terrell Owens.
Yeah, that was one
interesting
discussion because I think, look, we've talked about him like an all-time Eagle. He's been talked about on this station as much as, you know, John Runyon or whatever
right.
you want to say, you know, which is a crazy thought. But like, so I think it's an interesting one, especially because he was, you know, for 1 year, the best receiver we've ever seen in Eagles uniform. So I think that's an interesting one.
And then Jeremiah Trotta and Hugh Douglas, all-time great Eagles, were not at the peak of their career. They had left and came back at that point. And then David Akers, like, you could build an argument Jake Elliott's the best kicker in franchise history, but I think David Akers is just an all-time great Eagle that Jake is not.
I mean,
yet.
David Akers, for whatever you want to take this as, David Akers has appeared in the most playoff games in an Eagles uniform of any player ever. It's 19. Dawkins is second with 18. But David Akers has appeared in an Eagles uniform as a player more than anyone else in a playoff game ever. So that is something. It matters.
And then we had Ike Reese on there just because he is an all-time great. Like,
all-time
loved
Eagle,
him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you wouldn't say necessarily like he's of the class of those guys on the field, but like Ike is an all-time Eagle because of the, you know, 10
yes.
years after and all that
stuff. So McNabb, Westbrook, Runyon, Trey Thomas, T.O., Dawkins, Trotter, Hugh Douglas, David Akers is 9. So those were our 2004. 2017, Nick Foles, Zach Ertz, Lane Johnson, Jason Peters, Jason Kelsey, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Malcolm Jenkins, I think are all like locks.
Like locks.
Yeah, like they're
locks.
Indisputable.
Yep.
And then Rodney McLeod, I think, is on the list, but you could convince me otherwise.
Yeah.
So that makes it 9-9. And I think what's
And then we didn't talk about there are a lot of like the Chris Longs and the guys who we love in this city and will always love because
right.
they were awesome and great personalities and part
I
of the
I will crush your face.
Was that it? I'm guessing that was a
That
mistake.
Was John Ritchie. You didn't include Ritchie.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't think Ritchie
Well, but
would
Ritchie wasn't. Yeah.
Ritchie was yeah, no.
I'm on. Just saying, you know, your coworker might be insulted, James.
I don't think he would be. I think like I love John Ritchie, but we're talking about like, you know, the Ritchie was here
yeah,
for 2
Ike
years.
Was, yeah, like, his whole career pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I spent his whole career.
So 2017, the other interesting part of that is they're all in the prime of their careers. Like the 2004 Eagles, McNabb, I mean, you could probably was his prime. It was the best year of his career, but he had been good for a long time. Westbrook, I guess maybe his prime, but like Zach Ertz, prime of his career. Lane Johnson, Jason Peters was injured, but that was one of his better years. Jason Kelsey, like I think there's an argument that if in 20 years we sit down and do this list again, there are more in 2017.
I think 2017 is the winner, and not just more. I think that when you look at it, like A, because they won the Super Bowl, and that does matter.
Yes.
Like, they have that.
Like Foles isn't on it if they don't win.
Right, but he did, and thus he is a legend simply because of that, much less all the other stuff that we love Nick Foles for and all that. So I do think that matters. And then on top of it, like whatever it is, like the list of 04 guys, there's some controversial Philly guys there. Like Donovan McNabb was not totally loved by the city the way he should have been. T.O.,
correct.
A very controversial figure.
Yeah, to say the least.
To say the least. Yeah. Whereas, like, the 2017 list is, like, all guys we love. Like,
yeah,
all,
like, Foles is involved in controversy, but he himself is not a controversial
figure. Like, a wonderful man. Who all
yeah.
you do is say, like, what a great human, you know? And, like, you know, like, I think that in terms of, like, beloved, 10 years from now, I think that 2017 list will be more beloved than the 04 list.
Yeah, and you talk about, like, just popular Eagles. I mean, in terms of, like, having a good, what's the expression, like, Q rating, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Foles, Brandon Graham, Jason Kelsey.
Yeah,
like,
BG
those are top
all-time,
of the three. Like, Dawkins is up there, too. But in just terms of, like,
it's
love.
A it's a great list. So if you want to chime in on that, what do you think is more, like, beloved, more all-time Eaglesy the 04 or the 17 team. Chime in on that as well. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones and go to South Carolina and talk to our buddy Rick. Hey, Rick.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
What up, Rick? How you doing?
Elliot had me worried at the top of the show that we were losing one of the better coaches. I thought I missed a headline about Jeff Stoutland.
Well, he would definitely be a huge
loss.
He'd be a bigger loss than Gannon. Yes, I'll acknowledge that, yeah.
The Elliot, city might melt down if you lost Stoutland.
Elliot, listening to y'all's podcast is definitely educational. I learned something we have in common. I'll come back to that in a second. But, Elliot, I think you're my new term, you are Ragering this call on Gannon.
Yes. Oh, that was you, Rick? Was that you who left that Times Yours call? That was Rick left a phenomenal Times Yours call where he's like, we have a new noun for when you totally screw something up. Like, I Ragered that draft pick. Howie Ragered that draft pick. Phenomenal noun. Go ahead.
So, or maybe it's a verb, but anyway.
Yeah, it's a verb. You're right. It's a verb, not a noun. My bad.
So that's okay. I understand he has the personality he has. I just, watching the games this year, he was too timid. I want somebody who doesn't strive to be vanilla. You may not have the personnel, but I want you to strive to be like a Jim Johnson, rest in peace, or Sean McDermott.
Let me push back on that, Rick, because I agree. Like, in an ideal world, any defense, but especially like in this city, right, you want an attacking defense that's super aggressive, like blitzing, all those things. But, and I'll throw this to James too. Like, what if it was worse that way? Like, what if he did do that, right? And then they were giving up more points than they were. Like,
well, we'll never know. He just let them cut him up. Dice him apart. Like, why not try something? But, how much worse could it be than 90% completion?
But you don't think he thought that? Like, do you guys?
I don't know what was going through his head.
Rick, do you really think that he sat there each week and was like, well, I could try something creative, but nah, I'm just not going to do it. Like, obviously, they felt it wasn't the right decision to try to do more in terms of, like, because, again, blitzing, it all sounds well and good until you give up an 80-yard touchdown over the head of the single man in coverage, right? Like, Jim Schwartz, right? He, I guess, was viewed as more aggressive. They played a ton of man coverage, and their cornerbacks got beat all the time down the field. So, yes, ideally you want to do it, but there is a downside to it. Let's not act like it's just going to work if he does it all of a sudden.
Elliot, it was embarrassing, that statistic earlier in the season. Since 1933 inception, there were, like, X number of games where quarterbacks had completed over 80%.
I know, yes. People care about
it. And like five of the 13 was this year or something like that.
They were completing a lot of points. They were completing a lot of passes.
It's too soft.
But that was the game plan. Like, that was what they were in a weird way.
That's the point. Why would that be your game plan?
Because they didn't have the personnel to be blitzing and be creative. Like, they didn't. Do either of you guys dispute that? Rick, you started the call by saying the personnel wasn't good.
Of course I said, we know the personnel wasn't good, but of course that doesn't mean you can't do anything.
But you have to take that into account when judging it.
But that doesn't mean you don't do anything. And especially if you coach them all season long, don't you think by the end of the season, you could have gotten them in a point where they could.
Well, they were until they played the Bucks.
Yep, we could do good against bad quarterbacks. Awesome.
Okay. Well, be careful what you wish for, man.
Oh, I'm very.
I know you are. Yeah.
So, Elliot, I have a friend from Leeds. There's a teaching hospital.
Oh, yes, I'm loving this already.
And so I've been a fan for about 3 years since they made it back into the Premier League. My favorite player is Rafinha. That was disappointing.
It
was
terrible. Yes.
But my favorite player is Rafinha. I don't understand why they don't play the young kid more, like even start him.
Gellhard, yeah. So
like
here's
that.
The thing, Rick.
What is happening?
Here's the thing, Rick. DM me on Twitter because I really want to talk to you about
Rick,
this. I'm loving your
fantastic call, my friend.
Okay, I'm not on Twitter. Thank you.
All right,
okay,
Rick,
bye.
Always a pleasure, my friend. That was fun.
I have my Leeds jersey on. It was a terrible, terrible loss.
It was tough.
This
morning. Yeah, well, only I know because Elliot and I are neighbors now, for those who don't know. So we come to work together for our shows. So we were supposed to leave at like 11:40 or whatever, and Elliot's like, yeah, it's going to be longer. I'm watching the Leeds game.
Yeah.
I
was like, they played like the worst team in
that's
the league.
That's so cute. You guys carpool to work?
We usually walk in or whatever, but yeah.
Well, I'm loving that he brought that up. I know no one else cared, but.
215-592-9494. Would it be a huge loss if Jonathan Gannon gets a head coaching job and the Eagles lose him? And 04 versus 17, when it's all said and done a decade from now, 20 years from now, which team are we going to look back on and say, that had more all-time Eagles? Those are more beloved. Which one? 215-592-9494. It's Elliot. It's James. It's Go Birds Radio. We're coming right back. 30 minutes of Go Birds Radio left, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. John Johnson coming up after that. Power hour for John.
So I saw a stat this week that the Flyers are the first team, I'm sure it's in NHL history since that's where they play, to lose 10-plus games twice in the first 40.
You're very close. Oh, in the first 40 games, yes.
In the first 40 games, right?
So they're the first since 2010-2011 season to lose 10 games in a row twice in a season. and you're correct. They're the first in the history of the sport to lose 10 games in a row twice in their first 40 games.
And what's so wild about that is, and this isn't breaking news to anybody, but they are like one of the worst teams almost ever. And I don't even think it's a debate that people are still way more mad, way more frustrated about a missed draft pick from Reagor 2 years ago.
Oh, it's not
like
close.
Think about that. They're literally at a historic losing pace.
It's a great
and it just shows to me, and again, this is not breaking news, but the level the Eagles are held to in this city versus the other franchises
is unbelievably different. Also, the Flyers are absolutely smack dab at the bottom of those four franchises, too.
I agree with you.
The level that the Eagles are held to is way higher than the Phillies and the Sixers, too. But at least the Phillies and Sixers are held to a high level. Like, the Flyers, it's just, who cares? Like, it's a disaster.
I agree.
I don't think the ownership cares. I don't think anyone cares. Ever since Ed Snyder died, no one cares about the Flyers. And it's borne out on the ice. And they are a team that I don't think cares about winning. I think they care about making money. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's their embarrassment right now. But are an embarrassment of a franchise.
It's just when I saw that, and it was, you know, there's always a lot of Reagor debate, and people especially this week are talking about them. It's just so funny to look at, like, that versus, like, a missed draft pick. And it's just,
yeah.
I don't know.
No, I feel you.
It wasn't that interesting of a point.
It was okay.
Down the middle?
It wasn't your best. I'm not going to, you know.
Fair.
I thought it was a good segue into Eagles stuff from Flyers. You know, you could have done worse connecting the two.
Could have just not brought up the Flyers.
Yeah, probably wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, not necessary.
It's just crazy to me. A missed draft pick versus, like, historic losing.
Yeah, I get your point.
Different levels of anger.
It's a good point. It's a good point. I mean, it was the worst missed draft pick, but yes, I get it. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones and go to Glassboro and talk to my guy, Black Gritty. What up, Black Gritty? What up, Mo?
Speaking of the Flyers and my name being Black Gritty, man, I got a tape name over my shirts now when I'm in these streets.
I know.
They're hurting the brand.
RITTY off. You just be Black G, and we're good to go, and you move forward.
Definitely killing the brand. Sad Gritty out here in the streets. You know what I mean?
Sad Gritty. That's pretty good, actually.
That makes me sad to hear that.
Sad Gritty. You know, you, Elliot, are dying on this hill with this defense because now you can't even hold on to your, and the points allowed. It means the run of the. I was like, you know what? The defense was bad. And
the defense wasn't bad.
Yes, it was. In the playoff game.
Oh, in the playoff game, yeah.
In general, they were good against bad quarterbacks. But in the playoff game, my biggest problem was, one, the head coach told me he didn't see Reagor's fumble because he was over there with the defense trying to get that going in the right way.
That's not crazy, to be fair. Like, all head coaches talk with coordinators and stuff during a special teams play.
What's crazy is the result of the conversation then, okay? You've got two injured linemen who are wobbling out there. And again, like you just said, what do you want to do, just blitz him and get beat over the top? I'd like you to try once or twice. I'd like to see it on a series. I'd like to see it for a quarter because guess what? At this point, we're already down. We ain't scored no points. And you got two dudes on the line that are never hurt and are out there playing injured and are struggling and still holding up against our line front, and you don't bring a blitz. So what was the conversation about?
Well,
hey,
hold on.
Doing the same thing you're doing?
Yeah. Well, hold on. First of all, they were 31st in the league in blitzing, so I'm not going to beat the drum of they blitz because obviously they did not blitz a lot. But in the first Buccaneers game, I think they blitzed Brady on 25% of his dropbacks. In the Chargers game, I think the number was right around there too. Like, he did blitz more as the season went on. Then when he started playing the bad quarterbacks, he didn't blitz at all because why would you blitz against those
guys? You don't have to.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, to be fair, like, if we're going to give Sirianni credit for adjusting to the run, it was just way more successful, his adjustment. But when Gannon did blitz more from, like, week one to week seven or whenever they stopped playing the good quarterbacks. Like, he did blitz more.
Again, you keep trying to make the mantle of, what do you want to do, just blitz all the time? You want to be like the 2004 Eagles? No, we know we don't have that kind of defense. Again, I'm specifically speaking to, you have two injured offensive linemen and you don't bring extra pressure.
Well, but the pass rush was getting home to Brady as that game went on, to be fair. I mean, even Ryan Kerrigan had a sack.
They got their five meaningless sacks.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm just saying, you're talking about pass rush. You're saying once the guys were injured, you should have blitzed more. They were getting pass rush.
Because if you were finally getting sacked because the linemen were injured with your front four pressure, just, again, I hear what you're saying. You're going to defend the dude because that's what you do. You defended it. Hopefully he gets a job somewhere else.
Please.
You know, I know we don't have personnel. Let him get a job somewhere else.
Okay.
And then
careful what you wish for,
Black Gritty. Baby mama, how you doing? I ain't getting to talk to you.
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Elliot Parks got me over here, so I'm sad.
I get it.
Check on you. You know what I mean?
I'm good, man. It's good to hear your voice.
Love you guys.
My man.
You know, it's the off season, But we always got to do it, brothers.
I know. It'll be a fun one. Go Birds, baby. Love it, though. Yeah, the best.
Yeah, and just be careful what you wish for. Like, I understand.
I'm pretty careful. I feel
good
about it.
I know.
I feel like, very, very
if your
fine.
Biggest issue is the defensive coordinator can't stop the elite quarterbacks, good luck finding one that can.
All right.
Good
buddy.
Luck.
All right.
Good luck.
Just keep bashing your head against the wall.
It's not bashing my head against the wall.
Same thing. Up.
Well, it's also your main
criticism. I guess
we're
going to give up 90% passing again today because there's a good quarterback against us. I guess we can't
and
get
it's
a
most
stop
because
we good quarterback against us. I guess we'll never stop a good quarterback because we're not going to scheme for him. We're just going to be like, sit back and be like, oh, maybe he'll make a mistake.
Yeah.
That's a great defensive plan.
Well, look, whatever plans, any of these defenses they're trying against these quarterbacks for the most part don't work. So you can just pick your poison.
Let's go to South Philly and talk to my brother, Darren, who has a take on another caller here. Darren, what are you suggesting, my friend?
I'm sitting here saying, tell that man, Mad Mike, can I admit that he's wrong and own it, not make a clarification, just say, look, I was wrong. The Eagles are better than I expected. He shouldn't be allowed to call into the station, or at least to this radio station, because
at this point,
I'll say this. Eagles fans, for the most part, except for you, Mad Mike, until you do it, we're accountable. We might have the most weirdest aspirations, but we can admit when we're wrong. And that's where you need to get Elliot, because...
Oh, I always admit when I'm wrong.
No, because did you just sit here and say that the reason why we don't blitz is because the former coordinator. I can't
Jim Johnson, sure, yeah.
No, Schwartz. The last
okay,
one.
Yeah.
Jim Johnson's been gone for 20 years. Let's not do that.
Okay.
But played one-on-one, and so that's why we got torched like that. But even when we were getting torched, like with the double moves, we were getting beat by double moves, and quarterbacks still weren't completing 90% of passes. Because
they were harder passes.
It doesn't matter.
It absolutely matters. When you're talking about the completion percentage, the Eagles' main objective to a certain degree was give up short underneath passes, which are easy passes. Like, that's my thing with the whole completion percentage.
You get to the line,
it's like
you go
saying,
all out, you
hold
do
on,
something.
Hold on. It's like people ripping Brett Brown for saying he had a bad record his first few years. Their objective was to lose. So, yes, he had an historically bad record because they were trying to lose. They were giving up a higher completion percentage because, to a certain degree, the plan of the defense was to give up short passes.
But he made no attempt to correct that. My thing is this. So by your definition, okay, we're just going to ding dunk, not change anything, and give up 90% of pass and get killed? That's what you want to do?
I'm saying when any defense plays these elite quarterbacks, it's extremely hard to stop them. Yes, because
period.
That's by design. That's the point I'm making. But what I'm saying is you're right. When they play these elite quarterbacks, I don't feel good about the defense going in. I would challenge you guys to find a defensive coordinator that next year would make you say, I feel good about
Ted
the defense. Todd Bowles is one of the best defensive coordinators of all
Vic
time.
Vic Fangio.
Yeah, Vic Fangio, also one of the best of all time.
But he's available. He is out there.
To sit there and say you can't, as a defensive coordinator, you can't stop elite quarterback is a lie, flat out. The good ones
I should have said there's not a lot of them. I should have said that. There's not a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's not.
Mm-hmm.
And again, let's have a Vic Fangio conversation.
Sure.
Tell me if you think this is an irrational fear or not. Do you think there'd be any worry in bringing in Fangio with the dynamic with Sirianni? Now, I know Jim Schwartz and Doug won a Super Bowl, so that's the ultimate trump card. But we remember, like, there were issues with Doug and Schwartz early on. And, like, Schwartz wanted to be a head coach, and he was a former head coach, and had experience.
No, I'm not too worried about that.
I'm
not.
I don't know if I am or not. It's just something I would think about.
Fangio just failed as head coach. He's getting a D.C. job. Like, I'm not worried about it. I actually go the opposite way and think, like, it's actually a real value. I think one of the things this staff missed this year was a veteran guy who's been to a bunch of playoff games with other teams, who's been in these spots before, who could have kind of calmed things down and gotten things better in that playoff game and in those big spots. So I actually think it'd be a value to have
That's a good counterpoint.
Guy like Fangio here. 215-592-9494. Gus in formerly Allentown, now Bethlehem. How we doing, Gus?
Thanks, James. Listen, the thing is, it's much easier for an offensive line coach to develop a Pro Bowl offensive tackle than it is for a receiver coach to develop a Jefferson. That's why I'd always pick a Jefferson over a Mulata.
I mean, is that
always.
True? I mean, I guess the receiver depends on the quarterback, but I would say tackle is a harder position.
No. A great offensive line coach can take guys that were cut and turn them into all pros.
I mean, look, for example, Andres Villanueva, who was an Eagle
exactly.
and was cut, went to
Bingo.
Pittsburgh and became an all-pro. So
Bingo.
I do think there has to be a requisite level of skill and talent there or physical abilities, but I would agree that
it's
like
really
it's harder
skill.
To create
it's really
a great wide receiver.
Position.
Well, but Gus, then why do – if you're talking
position.
About like it's easier – you're essentially saying it's easier to get an elite tackle than it is a receiver. Is that basically your point?
It's more important – let's put it this way. It's more important to have an elite offensive line coach. That's the key.
Yeah,
and
I agree with
Eagles
that.
Have.
Yeah. Well, and look, the offensive linemen benefit off each other, too.
You always draft a Chase or a Jefferson. Always. You always draft those guys.
I disagree. I mean, you look in the draft all the time, tackles go ahead of receivers. Like, all the time.
I disagree with you. And by the way, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, cool.
Why do you always punch down rather than punch up?
Me?
Yeah.
Who am I punching down?
It's always about, well, it always could be worse, or look at all the teams below us, or it's always, you always are going down. It's never like... Your standard is always like sort of mediocre, sub-mediocre.
It's an interesting
I want the Eagles to be as good as Belichick when it comes to drafting. I want the coaching to be as good as Belichick. I want excellence. I don't want to be content with the fact of the Cole Comfort Farm that there's a whole bunch of, you know, bottom feeders worse than we are. I don't get any comfort from that, Elliot. And you're always pitching that, and you're
right.
always running interference for Roseman by reminding us that they're even dumber general managers out there.
Well,
I don't care.
All right, Gus, really
Gus,
quick.
Good phone call.
So, look, I think it's a fair point in that, yes, that's what I've been saying, but I think that's because a lot of people want people fired. Like, I have to say that I think Howie's a better GM than people make him out to be because people want Howie fired. I'm saying it could be worse than Gannon.
But you understand his point.
His point is, yes,
yeah.
you would like Bill
the
Belichick as your
it,
head coach.
Right,
would,
or
yes.
whatever. Any of the, like, general manager, it's like, yeah, maybe Howie is the 15th best general manager or whatever, but I want the first best. I want the second best. Like, I want those guys. And, like, that I think that's his point. And I, instead of defending what we have, striving for the best.
And I think maybe it's my personality.
But look, Howie has been the best for a year before, so you can say, hey, he's shown he has that ceiling,
yeah.
that's a counter to that.
Maybe it's my personality, but like I lean on the side of it's going to be harder to replace these guys than people make it out to be. If you want to say, look, I know that Gannon can't be a top guy, so let's fire him and take a chance with somebody else that who knows, maybe that's your prerogative. And I just not where I would go.
215-592-9494. One more segment to go. John Johnson after that. Let me remind you that one of the things that we here at Go Birds love most about our Parx Sportsbook app is that it's not just about the teams and only picking teams when you place your bets. They offer all kinds of action and so many different ways to bet on individual player performances. It makes watching the games that much more exciting. In football, you can bet on passing and rushing yards, bet on who scores touchdowns and hoops. You can bet on points, rebounds, assists. In hockey, you can bet on goals and so much more. Plus, with the live in-game betting and the wildly popular same-game parlays, the Parx Sportsbook app is custom-made for you, and that's why it's the only one that we hear at Go Birds recommend. And more than anything, I say this every time, it's just way more fun to have some action on these games. We're going to be watching football all weekend. These four games are going to be awesome. We can't wait. You know what's making it just a little bit more fun? Throw some action on it. Play some bets. Win some money. And it's just that much more of an enjoyable weekend. And it's a big weekend of action, a big weekend to bet on. So sign up now, make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player or a player you're watching. Or, of course, just bet on any game. Download the app and get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Go to parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your first bet risk-free. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The Parx Sportsbook app website has all the terms and conditions. Final segment of Go Birds Radio presented by Parx Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore, Parx, James Seltzer with you.
This one flew by today.
Really quick today.
I mean,
we've been waiting to do the great Gannon debate basically all season long to really just hash it out.
It's a shame I didn't make the point about his age.
Hour and 5 minutes in, it was the only thing I didn't have a great response. Yeah. I felt really good arguing everything else, but like I've made that point about Sirianni. I've made that point about Hurts. It's hard for me to come back and be like, yeah, well, you know, yeah, he is young.
Do you feel like the Eagles season flew by?
Yes and no. So now that we're sitting here and you know, it's over and we're talking about it in a way I do, but I also, like, think back to that Falcons game and all that's happened since then.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, that really does feel like a long time ago. So I'm kind of
I think it's
in
just
the middle.
So crazy it's over already.
Yeah, I know. I know, but that's what we always say, right?
Yeah, true.
215-592-9494. Let's get in as many calls as we can before we get out of here. And let's start it with our good pal in Texas. What up, CJ?
What's good, guys? I'm good.
What up, CJ?
I've been washing clothes before the game.
Nice.
So I know you've heard y'all from the intercession, but great season with you guys listening. You know, it was like one of my first years calling in for everything.
Yeah.
I've been following you guys' podcast for so
Yeah, we definitely love you calling in.
Thanks, CJ. We really appreciate you. We appreciate your calls, and that means a lot. Thanks.
The text I'm doing today for his gaming, I'll say this. If we do look, okay, he's young, and we can – what if he turns out to be great? I mean, I think everybody's seen that meme of what the Washington football team had, and then they hired –
Sure. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can run into that. But at the same time, look at the talent and also a person. I'm with you. I'm with you.
CJ, it's a little hard to hear. You're going in and out. CJ, it's hard to hear you. You're on like a speaker Bluetooth. You're going in and out. It's hard to make out what you're saying.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better. Go ahead.
Okay, so what I was saying was I think a coach like Vic Fangio adds to Nick. I think it helps him see, like, hey, these are things that you were missing. This can help you get on schedule. Also, the players are going to buy in on defense because they know what he is as far as a defensive coordinator. It's going to help Howie as far as knowing how to evaluate talent because he's been a successful coordinator for years and years and years. So I think you add more, and not only he could probably tap into the coaches, the defensive coaches that are in the linebackers, corners, all those defensive coaches. Imagine what he's teaching them.
Yeah, it's
a great point.
As
opposed to all of them learning it together. And then by the time they learn it together and you finally get the pieces, that team gets taken apart. So that's what the biggest things I can see for is subtraction for is Gannon leaving.
Yeah.
And one benefit is you would assume Fangio is probably not getting another head coaching job. So whereas Gannon, maybe you keep him this year.
Yeah, that's
it seems
good
like
point.
He is probably going to get hired
that's
at one point.
That's a really good point is that, yeah, we might have Gannon for one more year, but like that might be it. He might get another. And it, maybe he does improve and then just leaves. So
right.
It's more sure that Fangio will stay after just having, you know, after that.
And I like your point, CJ, about how Fangio could help them scout on defense better.
And again, to the point we just made about these situations, like, yeah, again, it was his first year experiencing new things. Like, Fangio's seen it all. He's done it all. He can help in those situations where Nick's like, I've never encountered this. Vic can be like, I have a bunch of times. Let me tell you about it. You know.
Now, I will say this. The only other thing, quick part about it, is the whole thing with Howie. I get it. Howie should be more entrenched with far as making better choices. Now, y'all have the thing going say which will be better, more the line, the left
tackle. Mailata or Jefferson.
We find, yeah, Mailata or Jefferson. The biggest difference is, just like Tom Brady, everybody skipped over him into the sixth round. So the Mailata thing was like, okay, well, he looks like
point.
He could have talent. You missed on a receiver repeatedly. It's the thing where we may be looking at a receiver for the third time in the first round. How many more pieces could we could have replaced two key pieces on our offense or our defense, or one and one. And then you would have had your lesser talent, which would have been on your freaking special teams, which you said, hey,
no,
we don't have
CJ,
top talent.
CJ,
if you're doing it, you would have had better talent.
It's a great point. Before we let you go, what did you have on the 04-17 thing?
I'm going to go 04 just because it's proven. I mean, you went to Super Bowl already with them. You already got a Hall of Famer or two from that team. You got two Hall of Famers already on that team. Of McNabb looking like he should be one.
He should be.
You know, so you got people that are already
on. I don't know if he should, but he's close. He's certainly right on that fringe.
Yeah, but I'm saying you already got proven talent that's in the Hall of Fame.
That's a really interesting point. And you look at the great call, CJ, and we appreciate all your calls all season. You look at the 17, I think Kelsey we've talked about as we think has a real chance to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
but
Jason
Peters. Peters probably is a Hall of Famer. Ertz,
in the discussion,
probably not there. But so it is interesting. I think ultimately it'll probably be relatively even from that perspective.
Well, and another quick thing off of what he said was what really hurt the Eagles in that playoff game too is Rager, Barnett, Dillard. You got nothing from any of them. Three first-round picks. All could have contributed, and they didn't.
Let's go to Frankfurt and talk to my buddy Alex. Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's going on?
What up, Alex?
Listen, real quick, because I know we up against it. I'm happy because we did more than what we expected.
Yeah.
I know they did more than what I expected.
Me too, buddy.
It's a very simple truth.
I said seven wins, and that was like a growth to seven wins.
I was going
to
say,
off-season started, I was like four or five. Yeah. I ultimately picked seven, but I was definitely in the 5-7 range. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I look at it like this. I know it's going to sound cliche. There's always next year.
There's always
next year. I'm a true Eagle fan. Look, long as we moving forward, that's all I'm worried about. That's it.
And look, coming off a four-win year and, like, the worst season we all remember, certainly in recent times, like, you definitely, from your perspective, Alex, like, you have to look at this as a step forward no matter what happens after. No, you're right. I like that.
Half a loaf is better than no loaf. That's Alex, how I look at it. Y'all guys have a great day.
Love
my man.
What
stay
a pleasure.
Warm.
You too. What a positivity. Stay warm is right. Let's squeeze one more in here. My guy Joe in Jersey. What up, Joe?
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Joe?
I look at, you know, Howie's mistakes, and sometimes I think they're vengeful. I think, like, the Eagles went and got Goddard, and that spited Dallas. And then Dallas kind of didn't need a wide receiver, so they take C.D. Lamb. Then the Chiefs, who happened to win the Super Bowl, win with Tyreek Hill. So he's they have to be smarter than everybody, and then they take Rager.
Yeah, I think, Joe, I do think – I don't know if it's those specific examples, but I do think that we've talked about this a lot on this show and other shows that – they have been reactive in their
They're
ways.
They're definitely reactive.
Like, overreactive. Where it's like, oh, we did overcorrective. We don't have speed. Oh, let's just draft only speed and all that. And I will say, and that is a concern that I have. I'm with you, Joe, but I will say that is something how he talked about in that press conference and said, we're not going to do that. Like, at least that we'll see. Until he does it, I'll believe it. But so. He did talk about that. So.
And then I hate trading with the Cowboys. I didn't like the trade for the wide receiver. I'm glad he's a good wide receiver. I don't trade with the Cowboys. You know, Michael Parsons looks like he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Well, they would have taken him at 10 anyway. So.
They would have taken him at 10 anyway, but you would have had your third-round pick, or you could have made the trade with the Bears,
Chicago.
And you could have got
You have a top six pick or seven.
But again, once you take a guy like Rager and Jefferson does well, that puts pressure on Rager. Then you put more pressure on him by taking Devontae Smith. And you know, in this town,
but Joe, here's the thing, and I'm more on the I feel bad for Jalen side than most, but he's a first-round pick. He's a receiver. Like, there's pressure that's just going to come with that.
Oh, I agree. But my point is, in this city especially, when – your average caller and you average radio hosts have think about, okay, let's just take it the safe pick, make the smart pick. A friend of mine started Our Lad's Guide. So him and I talk all the time, Tom Halper. He's the one who started the Our Lad's Guide. So him and I confer all the time on every pick. And it's just when you take these dumb risks, you want to take your risks, you take them from the fourth round down.
Joe, I agree with you. And we're up against it. We appreciate the call again. Look, I do think that was the smartest guy in the room picked by Howie. It was like, I'm going to overthink this. There is a guy on the board who scored four touchdowns in the national championship game, had like 1,800 yards at a powerhouse SEC college that won the national title, or we could take the kid we think is fast from TCU. Like, he overthought it, clearly overthought it, and Mortensen said he went against the scouts. He put it out last week. Andy Weidel wanted him to take Justin Jefferson. They didn't. Like, that is it's a massive miss.
Look, I think we can all agree
it was a bad pick.
I don't know how many times we have to
we all agree.
It was a bad pick.
I wasn't planning on it.
Like, it's just so funny. And I love every caller that makes a point. But it's like, it wasn't a great pick.
It was bad. It was bad.
Agree. Right. You're not going to fight back on that.
This was fun today.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good. And of course, the beautiful thing, we'll be back next week.
If we learned anything from the Gary Gannon debate, it's that Rager was a bad pick.
That's perfect.
There we go.
Can't think of a better way to end it. Thank you to everyone who called in. We literally could not do this show without you. And to CJ's point, thank you to everyone who was with us all season long. Like, we had a freaking blast doing this show all season.
Yeah.
And we're not going anywhere. We're back next week and the week after. But the season being over, we really do appreciate
it. Let us get sentimental for
everyone who came on
right
the ride
up against
with us.
It.
You know, we really appreciate it. Yeah. Look at you. You're such a radio guy now.
I know.
Right,
it's all
up
I
against
do,
it. All right. Again, thank you to everyone who called in. Thank you to Elliot. Thank you to Moshe Kravitz and Dan Wilson doing a great job producing the show. And coming up next, John Johnson leading you up to football. After that, it's Elliot, it's James, it's Go Birds Radio, right here on 94 WIP.